Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, there's a lot going on that you might want to check out on our politics website. It's freecountry.org. We have today's Wonk Wars debate, which is about whether to legalize recreational marijuana. We did that on the air earlier, and this continues online. It's on the ballot in California for Election Day, and we have some local election features to help you cast an informed vote next week, including a four-question quiz about the new ballots in New York that will inform you as they quiz you, and a newspaper endorsement guide to the major races in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. See it all at itsafreecountry.org. And Dante Cheney is back with us now to conclude his four-part October series on Our Patchwork Nation. That's the title of his new book. Plus, Dante will be part of the election night team, both for us and for PBS, using his Patchwork Nation model of looking at American counties. He divides the country into 12 types of counties, from industrial metropolis and immigration nation counties to moneyed burbs, exurban boom towns, and evangelical epicenters, to name a few. Our series this month has been mostly about the cultural side of Our Patchwork Nation, comparing, for example, the prevalence of bookstores versus gun shops in different kinds of American counties. And as it happens, the book also measures public radio listening and conservative talk listening. And this week we'll begin there. Hey, Dante, welcome back to WNYC.
Well, hey, thanks for having me on.
And thanks for doing this month of Thursdays with us. It's been very enlightening. So you have a chart in your culture chapter called Favorite Talk Radio Programming, which specifically compares NPR talk show listening to conservative talk show listening in 12 county types. Why did you even decide to ask the question?
Well, we didn't ask it, but the Pew Research Center gathers all this data. And the nice thing about what they do is they break it down. They do what we call geocoding. So we know where all those responses come from. And we can sort them through these types we have. And we just thought, you know, look, when you travel to these places, you really realize from when you go down and have, and I do this a lot, have the, you know, crappy hotel free breakfast in the morning, what's on the TV? What news channel they're tuned into is very different depending on where you are. So it's something we felt we really had to do.
And the first thing that struck me about the results is that conservative talk dominates in every county type. So, for example, the best that public radio talk did anywhere was in the counties you call campus and careers, which is basically
right.
College towns. And you found
right.
there that 37% report listening to conservative talk compared to 25% who listen to public radio talk. And that was the best that public radio did. Then even in the industrial metropolis and moneyed burb counties like in and around New York, it's 2-1, like 40% conservative talk and 20% public radio talk, and even more so in other kinds of counties, culminating
right.
in emptying nest counties, 55-13 for conservative talk, evangelical epicenters, unsurprisingly, 60-11, and bigger than anywhere, your tractor country counties
right.
with 67% saying they listen to conservative talk compared to 10% who listen to public radio. So is the lesson there, make no mistake, who's the mainstream media and who's the alternative?
That may be some of it. I think, you know, these are talk. We're talking about talk here. We're not talking about the news program. So, you know, and those, the, you know, conservative talkers that have huge audiences. I mean, Rush Limbaugh is a huge audience, you know,
right.
Sean
but then,
Hannity is.
Sure. But then you did go on to list the typical day's programming on All Things Considered versus Rush
yes.
Limbaugh, January 7th,
right,
2010.
Right, right.
And the difference, as you note, is not so much left versus right as it is news versus opinion. All Things Considered had things like tips for making sense of new jobs numbers and misery from a Mideast water shortage as segment titles, while Rush Limbaugh's list of topics were like Obama slammed on broken promises. So,
right.
you know, maybe another point is that there is no liberal equivalent to conservative talk radio almost anywhere, except maybe where people can receive Democracy Now! Or other Pacifica shows. Because
right,
on cable
exactly.
TV, you have MSNBC as liberal talk, opposite Fox News Channel's conservative talk at night.
Mm-hmm.
But with the death of the short-lived Air America network, there's really no equivalent comparison on radio, which is, I guess, why you or Pew wind up comparing conservative talk to NPR News.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's All Things Considered, we did include in there. And there is, when you really get down to it, what are the news? There is no national conservative radio news outlet. There's the talk programs. I mean,
mm-hmm.
otherwise, on those stations, I think, and when you go to those places, I know this because I go there, those are, a lot of times, those are just their AM talk stations. Or they, you know, they're the local news channel, whatever that means. You know, and local radio news a lot of times, you know, in some of these places is pretty, you know, it's maybe a reporter, you know, and a lot of rip and read stuff, or it's from the biggest, you know, city in the state, and they're talking about what's happening in Omaha or Des Moines or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there isn't a lot of local news there, and there is no real true national conservative news outlet. And that is a huge difference. It's a huge difference. But, you know, this does go to, like, a big point we have in the book, and it's not just the radio, but especially online, this is people choosing to live in different realities, reading different things, listening to different things. And we make this point repeatedly in the book. In the culture section in particular, I think while we like to think of the country as coming together, I think because of technology, I think technology has actually allowed people more lanes to go off in different directions. And it would be, you know, and yes, we all choose what we read, but in particular types of place, they read and listen to similar things. And that does drive these communities in very different directions. Their view of the world is very different.
One anomaly you point out is relatively high NPR listening in areas with military bases.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And when we first saw that finding, we were just like, wow, this is kind of interesting. I wonder why this is. And then it doesn't take long. You immediately think, oh, well, of course. It's, you know, for these people, they do like their Rush Limbaugh too. But ultimately, they need to know whether or not their brother or sister or mother or father or son or daughter is safe. And, you know, you can like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity all you want. It's fine. But they're not going to really give you any news from what's happening in Iraq. And if you want that stuff, you've got to go to NPR. So they listen to NPR in those places.
Dante Cheney, author of Our Patchwork Nation. You also measured social media sites by county type online, and you found that three kinds of counties use social media the most and do so for different reasons. Care to explain?
Yeah, and this is, again, you know, the military bastions use social media because social media increasingly is a way to keep up with somebody and lives that are removed from you. It is a way that a lot of us, like say, if you went to, it's a way you keep up with your college friends. Well, for the people in the military bastions, it's a way for people to keep up with what's going on, people far away from, and follow what's happening in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Campus and Careers is much more, they use a lot of social media there, 48% of the people who live there. Remember, that's, you know, you have students as well as older people who live in those places who maybe aren't huge on social media yet. They use it in very different ways. I mean, they're using social media as ways to get together at night, to keep up with what movies everybody's seeing. You know, it's a very different kind of use of the social media landscape. And the same thing is really more true also with the industrial metropolis locations, the big city locations. It's really more using it as a way to just kind of keep up with what's going on with friends. Those friends may be closer than across, you know, thousands of miles away overseas.
Outside the book, you have a post on your website that seems to show a map of foreclosure hotspots. And, of course, foreclosures are hot again and hot to talk about. But foreclosure hotspots, which seems to track the map of where the Tea Party is strongest in America. Did I see that right?
You did. I think when you really look at what's going on with the foreclosure mess in this country, those places, there is a national foreclosure number, and that does tell us something. It makes people very uneasy. But you go to some of these places, the foreclosure situation is much worse. And when the foreclosure situation is really bad, it stirs anger. It stirs insecurity about where, you know, what's happening to my life. You know, this is in a very basic way. The place I live is worth, you know, maybe half of what it once was. There's anger in those places, and that anger has channeled itself into the Tea Party movement.
Why does it wind up there? Because one could argue on the other side that if somebody is in such dire straits in the private economy that they're on the verge of losing their homes or actually losing their homes, that they're the people who are going to want some kind of guaranteed health insurance going forward in the future. They're the people who are going to want unemployment benefits to be extended. They're the people who are going to want some kind of foreclosure relief, which was actually one of the things that sparked the Tea Party movement, a backlash against foreclosure relief.
Yeah, I know. And it's really interesting. When you watch that rant by Rick Santelli on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange now.
A year ago.
And you watch that now. It's funny because a lot of the people who have responded to that are places that are around these places where these people that Santelli called losers lived. And I don't think that they really even see the people as losers. What they see, they just – the way they see it, we talk in the book, there we have this – we open up the economics chapter by talking about this skit that was on Saturday Night Live with – they were right after the first crash. The first week of really bad news happened in the fall of 2008. And, you know, and it evolved into – I think it was Kenan Thompson like, just yelling, fix it. He was a financial analyst. He just yelled, fix it. Why aren't they fixing it? You know, and that's what it's like in some of these places. It's not I don't want to say it's not rational, but it is really hitting them on a very emotional level. And their response is, why isn't it fixed yet? It mm-hmm. needs to be fixed. And it's just you just want to tell them, well, you know, that fix is going to be – it doesn't matter who you have in office. Well, it may matter who you have in office, but it's nobody is going to be able to go in and fix that next year. It doesn't matter who you elect. It's you're in for a bumpy decade. Nobody wants to hear that.
Well, thanks again for the series and for the book, Our Patchwork Nation. Dante Cheney will be with us as well as on PBS on election night. I will be anchoring here. And Dante, you'll be on a few times during the evening, and you'll be applying your 12 county types and demographic analysis to election returns, right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll be checking out what's going on and looking at the county level for you guys. Absolutely.
So I'll talk to you Tuesday night. And thanks again for a really informative and enlightening series.
See you then. Thanks a lot.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Leslie Dunton Downer returns next to talk about words coming in from all over the world into English and then out again. Stay with us.